We're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th canto, chapter 22, text 20. Krishna steals the gopis' garments. Itya chitena vihitam vijabala mata vivastra plavanam vratachutim taputtikamastar shishakamanam sakshakitanemur avatyamrik yata itya chitena vihitam vijabala Matavivastra plavanam vatachatim Taputtikamasar sheshakamanam Sakshakitane moravatyamrik yata Iti.
Iti.
In these words.
In these words.
Achutena.
Achutena.
By the infallible Supreme Lord.
By the infallible Supreme Lord.
Avihitam.
Avihitam.
Indicated.
Indicated.
Raja Abalaha.
Raja Abalaha.
The girls of Braj.
The girls of Braj.
Matva.
Matva.
Considering.
Considering.
Vivastra.
Vivastra.
Naked.
Naked.
Aplavanam.
Aplavanam.
The bathing.
The bathing.
Raja Chutim.
Raja Chutim.
A fall down from their vow.
A fall down their vow.
Tadpurti.
Tadpurti.
Successful completion of that.
Successful completion of that.
Kamaha.
Kamaha.
Intently desiring.
Intently desiring.
Tat.
Tat.
Of that performance.
Of that performance.
Asheshakamanam.
Asheshakamanam.
And of unlimited.
And of unlimited.
Other pious activities.
Other pious activities.
Sakshatkritam.
Sakshatkritam.
To the directly manifest fruit.
To the directly manifest fruit.
Nemo.
Nemo.
They offered their obeisances.
They offered their obeisances.
Avadyamrik.
Avadyamrik.
The cleanser of all sins.
The cleanser of all sins.
Yataha.
Yataha.
Because.
Because.
Translation. Thus young girls of Vrindavan, considering what Lord Achyuta had told them, accepted. They had suffered a fall down from their vow by bathing naked in the river. But they still desired to successfully complete their vow. And since Lord Krishna is himself the ultimate result of all pious activities, they offered their obeisances to him to cleanse away all their sins. Purport. The transcendental position of Krishna consciousness is clearly described here. The gopis decided it was better to renounce their so-called family tradition and traditional morality and simply surrender to the Supreme Lord Krishna. This does not mean the Krishna conscious movement advocates immoral activities. In fact, devotees of ISKCON practice the highest standard of restraint and morality, but at the same time we recognize the transcendental position of Krishna. Lord Krishna is God, therefore has no material desire to enjoy young girls and sexual affairs. It, as will be seen in this chapter, Lord Krishna was not at all attracted to enjoying the gopis. Rather, he was attracted to their love and wanted to satisfy them. The greatest offense is to imitate the activities of Lord Krishna. In India, there is a group called Prakita Sahajya who imitate these affairs of Krishna and try to enjoy naked young girls in the name of worshipping Krishna. The ISKCON movement sternly rejects this mockery of religion because the greatest offense is for a human being to ludicrously imitate the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In the ISKCON movement, there are no cheap incarnations, and it is not possible for a devotee of this movement to promote himself to the position of Krishna. 500 years ago, Krishna appeared as Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who practiced strict celibacy throughout his student life and at the age of 24 took sannyas, a lifelong vow of celibacy. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu rigidly avoided contact with women in order to carry out his vow of loving service to Krishna. When Krishna personally appeared 5,000 years ago, he exhibited these wonderful pastimes which attract our attention. We should not become envious or shocked when we hear that God can perform such pastimes. Our shock is due to our ignorance, because if we tried to perform these activities, our bodies would be afflicted by lust. Lord Krishna, however, is the Supreme Absolute Truth and is therefore never disturbed by any material desire whatsoever. Thus, this incident in which the gopis gave up normal standards of morality and raising their hands to their head, bowed down in compliance with Krishna's order, is an example of pure devotional surrender and not a discrepancy of in religious principles. In fact, the gopis' surrender is the perfection of all religion, as Srila Prabhupada describes in Krishna's supreme personality of Godhead. The gopis were all simple souls, and whatever Krishna said, they took to be true. In order to be freed from the wrath of Runadev, as well as to fulfill the desired end of their vows, and ultimately to please their worshipable Lord Krishna, they immediately abided by his order. Thus they became the greatest lovers of Krishna and his most obedient servitors. Nothing can compare to the Krishna consciousness of the gopis. Actually, the gopis did not care for Varuna or any other demigod. They only wanted to satisfy Krishna. Mukam karati vachalam pangam langkayate girim yakipam tamam vande shri guru tinatarnam Om agyana tivirandasya gyananjana shalakaya chakshumiritam yena tasamai shri gurave namah. So, the gopis, on the one hand, Krishna is telling them that you have made a mistake in your worship here, so it has to be rectified. So that was on the one hand. On the other hand, it says here that they did successfully complete. And how was this possible? Because they got Krishna as their husband, which was the actual goal of all their austerities. They did. They went in the very cold time of winter. Actually, this was Hemanta season, just before winter. So we don't like to bathe in Jamuna in this month. It starts to get very cold. The water is cold, the air is cold, and you just don't want to do it. But they did it as an austerity to get Krishna as their husband. And so here it says that about ISKCON, of course, we don't advocate this type of worship at this moment of taking off all your clothes and giving everything to Krishna like this. People will misunderstand if we try to do this type of worship. And so Prabhupada told us, follow the four related principles and chant Hare Krishna. And so we do not condone any immoral activities. Although we worship Krishna, who seemingly appears to do these immoral acts. So the prakriti sahajiyas, they take it literally. Of course, they say, I am Krishna, and you are Radharani. And there is one guru who is very popular all over the world. And he actually does things like this. He makes a picture of himself with Radharani. He's like he's old and ugly. And just, how can you see this old man with Radharani? You know, it's just like, it's unbearable. And there's pictures in his ashram, because sometimes we rent his ashram for our retreats. But it's really disgusting. And not only that, he does enjoy with young girls. Darshan means for young girls that you take off everything and become naked before him. So this is not what we are doing here. So this is prakriti sahajiya, and there are such people in India who do like this. But they speak people accept them because they speak so beautiful words. And they don't, actually the men don't know what's going on somehow or other. Only the women know what's going on. As I've talked to people who this happened to. Yes, there were some congregational members from London. And they went for darshan of this person. Of course, you know, for them it meant, you know, darshan doesn't mean you show yourself. It means you go and see him. But they said, okay, come at midnight for darshan. And so then they started really getting scared. And then one of the ladies was preparing them, the lady disciples. Okay, so you leave your clothes here. And then they got really freaked out. And they phoned up ISKCON, which was in the same city. And they said, can you come and rescue us from this person? And so the devotees had to come and rescue them. It was in time for Mangal Arati. They came to the temple. So these things are going on, actually, in India, prakriti sahajiyas. They think that they become Krishna. So let us, we will practice these pastimes ourselves. Now, when materialistic people see, this is what happens. So these are materialistic devotees who want to be Krishna, and this is not possible. This is not possible. As he has said here very clearly, it is not possible for a devotee of this movement to promote himself to the position of Krishna. So we should not have these delusions of grandeur. And that's why we're here in this world, that we want to enjoy like Krishna. We want to be Krishna. Now, if materialistic people look at this pastime, they say, you know what? Even in India, we get people who say, why are you worshiping such a god who is so immoral that he's taking away, you know, people's, the girls' clothes, and he's dancing with the wives of married men? They may even say that he is a child abuser because he is they are underage here. If materialistic people look at him, but they may. In ISKCON, he wouldn't get away with it, actually. He would be on the list of people to avoid. But no, this is Krishna. He can do these things. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he showed us the example of how to practice devotional service. We do not imitate, but we follow the instructions. So Krishna, when he left Vrindavan and he became a householder, then he also showed how to be a proper grihastha. I met one of my students in Bhakti Shastri class. She said, also she admitted to me after the class, you know, it's hard for me to accept Krishna, so I'd like to worship Ram because he just had one wife and he was very restricted. And so and people think like this in India too. Yeah, Ram is okay, but Krishna, we don't know about him because he doesn't seem to be very moral. So one time somebody asked Srila Prabhupada about that. Some Indian gentleman asked Prabhupada that, you know, it doesn't seem, how can Krishna enjoy other people's wives? And so Srila Prabhupada said, well, actually, you know, Krishna is in the heart of everyone, including your wife. So therefore, it is you who are stealing Krishna's wife. Your wife belongs to Krishna. So why are you stealing Krishna's wife? Everybody belongs to him. All the women belong to him. So he only should enjoy. Why are you enjoying Krishna's? At the same time, Srila Prabhupada was not like these people, people who recite Bhagavatam for 7 days and they immediately go to the Rasalila chapters of Bhagavatam. One time when Indian couple, again, Grihastha, they came to Srila Prabhupada and they said, Swamiji, please tell us Rasalila. Please explain Rasalila to us. And Prabhupada said, no, I'm not going to do this. And they said, no, Swamiji, please do this. They were just after him. So finally Prabhupada said, well, you may be qualified to hear, but I am not qualified to speak. So that was Prabhupada. He was not encouraging people to do that. But since we have started from the beginning of Bhagavatam and now we're here, so it is okay if you start from the first canto. You don't just jump to the 10th canto and start reading about Krishna's relationship with the gopis. In chapter 20, it was the rainy season. It was rainy season, that is called the Varsha. And 21, the chapter before this, it was autumn, it was Sharat. And that chapter was spoken by the married gopis. Now this chapter is the unmarried gopis. So the relationship with the married gopis was one of separation. And the day they were separated, of course, they did meet him at night. But we heard the last chapter, they're describing the flute of Krishna in separation from Krishna. So then what happened now this is Hemanta, which comes after autumn. In India, we have six seasons. That is spring, and then summer, and then rainy season, that's three, and Sharat, autumn. Then Hemanta, which is now, that's called dewy season, and then winter, or sheet. So we have six seasons. Now it's actually all mixed up. So we have 6 months of summer, and maybe 1 week of rain in Vrindavan. It's become like a desert. And maybe 1 day of spring. it's not like that. It's very, very difficult. So here we are. It's very cold. These are the unmarried gopis, and their desire is to have Krishna for their husband. So Krishna enabled them, because Srila Prabhupada said, you can't be naked before anyone except your husband. So therefore, Krishna actually helped them fulfill their vows. That's what they wanted. They wanted Krishna for their husband. So he helped them by taking their clothes. And we were talking yesterday in the class how Krishna takes away things and how Krishna gives. So here he was taking away their clothes, but he was giving himself. And he will promise them that he will enjoy with them next year. In the autumn season, they will enjoy with him as husband and wife. In the rasa dance, that will happen. So what is here, the gopis, they gave up everything. As Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, sarva dharma pritya ja mam ekam sharanam vraja. So the practical example of this verse, very important verse of Bhagavad Gita, to abandon all varieties of religion and just surrender to me. Practical example is the gopis, the life of the gopis, that they gave up even religion here, dharma. They gave up their religious principles and surrendered to Krishna. And the wives, the married wives of the cowards, also gave up their religious principles, sarva dharma pritya ja mam ekam, and they surrendered only to Krishna. So in Vrindavan, everyone is following this. They're giving up everything, all conception of religion, and just surrendering to Krishna. So what is actually happening here? Srila Prabhupada explains, if you think of it philosophically now, if you think of technically speaking, Krishna is relating with his energies. His energies are also spiritual. The gopis are spiritual and Krishna is, so they're on the same level. He's just playing with his energies. And there's not a tinge of lust. So Prabhupada gives an example, or perhaps it's even in Bhagavatam, it's just like someone who's playing with his reflection in the mirror. So they are like, the gopis are like his reflection. They're an expansion of his energies, and Krishna is just playing with that, playing with them, because they're non-different from him. And there is no lust. It's not, of course, if a lusty person hears this, first thing he'll think is, oh, I would like to also do this. No, but it's not like that, because Krishna, although he is the enjoyer, and he's entitled to do this, he's not attracted. He's not thinking, I will enjoy. He's not thinking like that. He's thinking, I will make them happy. They want me, so I will make them happy. He's thinking, and they're thinking like that too. They're also not lusty. We don't want thinking, oh, we want to just enjoy with Krishna. No, they're thinking, we want to make Krishna happy. And that's why, that's what's behind the behavior of gopis and Krishna. It's not that we want to enjoy, even in separation, when they, the gopis are in separation and they talk about Krishna. And they're saying, you know, just come and put your hand on our head and embrace us. It's not that they want to enjoy the touch of Krishna. They want Krishna to be happy by enjoying them. And that's why the gopis were so upset when Krishna left Vrindavan and went to Mathura. And he married all those queens in Dwaraka, because they knew Krishna can't be happy, as happy with those queens as they are with us. So therefore they were lamenting that, oh, Krishna is not happy. And it was a fact. Every night when Krishna was sleeping, he was calling out the names of Radharani and the gopis. And the queens, they couldn't sleep. And even if you read Brihad Bhagavatamrita, what to speak of night, even in the day he was thinking of the gopis. So that's why they were so upset when Krishna left. Not for their own sake. And that's why they kept alive. Not so they could just be alive. But so if they knew if they died, then Krishna would be unhappy. So they kept themselves alive even in separation from Krishna. So it's a whole different concept of enjoyment. It's a whole different concept of life. Here in the material world, we are thinking, I will be happy. I will enjoy. What will make me happy? Well, how can I be happy? And we avoid distress. So in spiritual life, there's a whole other concept of happiness and distress. What will please Krishna? What will make Krishna happy? How can I make him enjoy? That is a whole different concept. That you sacrifice your own idea of happiness and distress. We have our ideas in this world of happiness and distress. So we give that up, and we just try to make Krishna happy and our spiritual master happy in this world. So why? How can we say that Krishna is renounced here in this pastime? How can he be renounced? Actually, he is renounced, and the proof is that when he was engaging in enjoyment with the gopis in Ras Lila, he left them all. He just left in the middle of it. He didn't care, and they were just distraught. They were so upset. So, and his wives, it's described that they can't do anything to attract him. But when they do some pure devotional service, when that's in their heart, when bhakti is there, Krishna is attracted. He's attracted by that. He's not attracted by some lusty desires. So, 16,000 girls, as described, worship Katyayani. I was reading a little bit from the beginning of the chapter. And the name Durga also, interesting enough, was mentioned there. In the case of the Katyayani here, was not the materialistic Durga. Another name for Yogamaya is Durga, I found out here. Yogamaya can also be called Durga. And they were worshipping actually Yogamaya and not Mahamaya. In this world, people worship Durga, Mahamaya, because they want to get something from her. They want to get her opulence to enjoy. They want to get something material. But the gopis were worshipping Durga, spiritual Durga, actually. not Prabhupada, but it was explained in the commentaries. That they were worshipping the spiritual Yogamaya. Because only Yogamaya can give you Krishna. Mahamaya cannot give you Krishna. Mahamaya can make you forget Krishna. And Yogamaya can give you Krishna. So it's a matter of your vision. If you want, and your how you see the world as an object of your enjoyment, then Mahamaya will help you forget Krishna. Because you can enjoy. How can, unless you forget who you are, a tiny, tiny particle or servant of Krishna, how can you enjoy in this world? So you have to forget. So that's Mahamaya. Now if you want to serve Krishna, and you're under protection of Daiva Prakriti, or Yogamaya. So on the last day, on this last day, also it's interesting to understand that these are all unmarried gopis, but Radharani, who was a married gopi, joined them on this last day. And her friends must have also joined, because she doesn't go anywhere alone. So Radharani was also here on this day, when Krishna stole the clothes of the gopis. Although she was already married. She just came to celebrate with the young girls that they completed their vows. So her friends must have also come. And so therefore, Radha and Krishna are again also united and shown that Krishna was the actual husband of Radharani. So the gopis, they got Krishna's mercy. This was the mercy of Krishna, great mercy. They got Krishna as their husband. So there's a verse in Vedanta Sutra, Anandamayo Pyasat. That means that by nature, everyone is full of happiness or ananda. That is our nature. And that is our necessity. That is a necessity of the soul. So when we try to enjoy in this material world with the earth, water, fire, air, ether, and these things, then we don't get our necessity of life. But we get a distraction, we get a deviation, we get a detour. And we may be in this detour for millions of births if we keep it up. So we need to actually surrender to Krishna. How do we surrender? We surrender by following the instructions of the spiritual master. And that's how we develop our love for Krishna. And eventually we can be promoted to enjoy with Krishna in the spiritual world. And that's just what Krishna wants. And that's why he comes here. Why he sends his spiritual masters. Why he came as Lord Chaitanya. Inviting us to come and enjoy with him in the spiritual world. And he shows these pastimes also, just to invite us, see how wonderful it is in the spiritual world, how we are all enjoying. So our process is chant Hare Krishna, because Hare Krishna is coming, Golokya Premadana, Hare Nam Sankirtan. Some people, sometimes I get the funny question that, are they chanting Hare Krishna in Goloka? Well, obviously, because it's coming from Goloka, they must be chanting Hare Krishna in Goloka. It's coming from Goloka to Premadhan. Then I got another question this year. Well, after you attain Prema, do you stop chanting Hare Krishna? Right. So here, Goloka to Premadhan. It's the treasure of Prema. Is Harinam Sankirtan again? Obviously, it's a very simple, but you know, people, they have, there's so many groups in India, and they give you all kind of crazy ideas come in your head. You know, like, you know, you don't chant Hare Krishna. You just do Lila Smarana, and that's enough. And you just think of Krishna and what he's doing, and imagine yourself as one of the gopis or one of the peacocks or whatever. But it doesn't work that way. The guru will reveal to you, and through your chanting, when you perfect your chanting of Hare Krishna, then everything will be revealed while you're chanting. everything will come. So this is very, very important. And Krishna, he's a brahmachari, actually. And it was proven. There was one story, if I can remember it. Yes, the gopis were going, they wanted to go across the Jamuna River to satisfy and serve Durvasa Muni, who had come to the other side of the Jamuna. He was visiting. So they were on their way, and they had all their nice preparations of food. And they came to Jamuna, and Jamuna was just like so wild. There was no way they could cross. There was no boats, and they couldn't cross the river. So then somebody came along, Krishna came along, and he said, "Oh, I'll tell you how you can cross. You just say this to Jamuna. You pray to Jamuna and say these words. Let us cross because Krishna is the greatest brahmachari." And they all started laughing. "Yeah, right. You're the greatest brahmachari. We know about you." "Well, how you can say it?" They said, "No." He said, "No, you just say that." And so they said, he went to Jamuna and they said, "Krishna is the greatest brahmachari." Jamuna parted and gave him a path, and they walked across. So then they went to Durvasa and they pleased him, and then he was so pleased that he gave the benediction to Radharani that your cooking is so wonderful. It is like nectar, and whoever eats this, your cooking, will have a long life and be very healthy. So when she got that, then Yashoda decided, "Oh, this is the best thing for Krishna." So she must come every morning and cook for Krishna. So even though Radharani was married to someone else, she had to go every morning. And there's also stories how she got out of that. Got away from her mother-in-law and sister-in-law and got to cook for Krishna. I won't go into those stories right now. But now they had to cross the Jamuna again, and the same problem was there. It went back after they crossed. So then Durvasa said, "Okay, I can help you cross. You just tell them that Durvasa is a great ascetic and he only lives on this boiled rice. And he does it, that's all he eats. He's fasting all the time." He just had a huge feast now. So they went to the and said to Jamuna, "Durvasa Muni is fasting and he's a great ascetic and all this." And Jamuna parted again and they went across. And so these things are happening in Goloka, Gokula, Vrindavan. These things are happening. They're very contradictory things, and today we will hear some more contradictions tonight about Krishna, how he's so contradictory. So this is one contradiction. How is he stealing the clothes of the gopis and he's the greatest brahmachari at the same time? How is this possible? Okay, so we'll stop here. Any questions or comments? Yes.
You were speaking of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu setting the right example of how to practice
right.
consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
And in regards to this idea of Sukrita Sahaja, we know that Mahaprabhu used to relish hearing of the recitation of Gita Govinda.
Right.
Okay.
With 3.5 people.
Right.
He didn't broadcast it on the internet.
No.
Make a public, okay, now we are going to discuss Gita Govinda.
But there's a certain irony in that Gita Govinda is known throughout India and other places too.
Yeah, it's sung in the temples.
Yeah.
For the pleasure of the Lord, in Jagannath Temple.
In Jagannath Temple, of course.
Right.
And yet, Prabhupada has given the instruction to his followers and to his disciples not to read Gita Govinda, that it is too intimate, it is too potentially difficult for the devotees to comprehend. It could
yes.
be taken in the wrong way.
Yes.
So, there's this irony that the non-devotees, or many of them, were devotees of Krishna, but not ISKCON devotees, they'll relish or they'll listen to Gita Govinda.
Mm.
But the ISKCON devotees, they don't. They don't enter into that.
Yeah. Well,
even though Mahaprabhu.
Not all of them. A lot of them read it too. I know a lot of people.
So, what is your view on this?
Well, the thing is this, that when you're mature, then you can read it. And Prabhupada, as far as I understand, he didn't say not to read, but those people who are beginners and immature should not go into that. It's just like a young child. Suppose you have an 8-year-old child, and there's a book, or there's a, you know, there's, yeah, or suppose his mother and father wrote a book about how, you know, they're engaging in their sex life and all these things. So should that child, if the child reads that book, he won't understand it. What will he? It's way, it's beyond his level, and he'll get the wrong idea about his mother and father. So Radha and Krishna, they're having their pastimes. They're like our mother and father. So in our immature state, if we hear these things, then we will misunderstand, and we'll think our mother and father are lusty, and they're like that and like that. But in our mature stage, when we go beyond all the identification of the body and our conceptions of what is love and what is real love, then we can read. There's nothing stopping you. And he wrote, Prabhupada wrote in Chaitanya Charitamrita lists of books that are way, you know, Ujjala Niyamani, and said devotees should read these books, and that's why that's what they, and they publish them, and they say, yes, but not all devotees. There's a qualification for reading and hearing certain things. If you read, Shivaram Swami wrote a book on what is the qualification to hear these pastimes. And even Prabhupada, he gives, what are the qualifications? Should be free from lusty desires. And you can test yourself by reading it. If you read it and you start getting lusty, okay, you're not qualified. Then you're not qualified. And if you read it and you appreciate and you think, wow, Krishna is so wonderful in this, then okay. So it's a very simple test. Very simple. But I see most of the people who are reading Gita Govinda are not qualified.
Right.
And this is a problem. I mean, it should be there and it should be read. But who should it be read? It should not be a class. You should not give classes on it.
Right.
It's not something that you discuss in public. And sometimes it happens in Vrindavan. Even our own devotees, they start giving classes, Shiva Bhagavatam class, or it has happened that they start getting into these things, and everyone is shocked, how they can talk like this and these things. Very intimate pastimes, they start speaking, and people they get very upset. So this is the problem, that it is not you don't read, but it's you read when you are liberated, so to speak.
Yeah. Very good answer, thank you. There's also another kind of irony is that we chant every day from Gita Govinda in the Shunya prayers.
Right. Yeah, that Prabhupada gave us.
Yes.
He gave us, so what he gave us, we do. What he gave us from Gita Govinda, that we accept. We accept his prasad. He chews it, and he gives us, okay, this you can have. This prasad you can have.
Yeah.
This is... Yeah.
I have another question. It's kind of off this. I don't want to dwell on it. Concerning Katyayani and the worship of Durga. Now, generally, in following Srila Prabhupada's instructions, we don't worship demigods.
Right.
Yet, there are certain places where he talks about it's kind of optional in terms of...
Ganesh.
With Ganesh, and then also Durga... pastime Rukmini worshipping Durga prior to being kidnapped by Krishna, and also...
Well, for the higher one. For us, Ganesh is the only one I remember that's in that
There's
devotion.
That one specific instruction.
Yeah, for our level devotees.
Right.
Yeah. So, I probably gave the condition. Somebody, actually Guru Kripa, wanted to worship Ganesh.
Yeah.
And he had a little Ganesh. He probably said, okay, you can worship, but you have to... give me $100,000 every month. That will be, then your worship is successful. You know, how to worship, that's another thing.
But isn't the concept also there in terms of devotional life is to worship the devotee of Krishna?
Yeah, yeah. That's proper
with the
worship.
The intention of getting Krishna, but worshiping the devotee of Krishna is also very authorized.
Yes.
So
we accept Shiva as our guru. Yes, we do. We have Bhagavatam. I was giving a class. I was in New York giving class on that section of where Lord Shiva prays. And after class, and I was saying, Lord Shiva is our guru, and he said, "Wow!" Some Indian came to me. Everyone else was bashing Lord Shiva, but you.
You cannot bash Lord Shiva.
I know. Don't worship the demigods. No, Prabhupada also. Lord Chaitanya, he went to
Shiva
different temples and. So proper worship is not condemned when it's proper. As servants of Krishna, we worship the demigods. But we don't worship them as Krishna.
Of course not.
So this is the confusion that's prevalent in India. Ganesh, they're all Krishna, Ganesh, Krishna, it's all the same. You know, this is the big problem. That's why it's the second offense to the holy name, not to equalize the names of the demigods and Krishna.
But for the devotees who want to invoke the help of the demigods.
You can, but Krishna showed in the pastime of Govardhan Leela that it's not necessary. Mm-hmm. You can do it. But the thing is, in our culture, it's not the way. It's not exactly, we don't teach like that. It's not our process, except actually. You can do it, but it's you know, why not just go straight? I mean, that's our philosophy. You can worship the demigods, but it is condemned in Bhagavad Gita, actually. Antavattu phalamtesham. People who want some temporary thing, they worship demigods. Or kamais taistar. Krita jnana, their knowledge is, intelligence is lost, and they worship the demigods.
For material benefits,
right. I mean, for Krishna it's okay, but there's no need to. We do respect them, though. Like, whenever sometimes I see temples of demigods when I go to Nepal, or then I just sing Brahma Samhita prayers to them, you know. You know, about Shiva and Durga. There's a huge, now at the end, when Chatikara Road in Vrindavan, there's a huge thing of this deity of Durga outside, like really big. So, and there's Hanuman and Ganesh, you know, right near our temple. So when I'm leaving Vrindavan, ready to go, then I say the prayers before. I say the prayers to Ganesh from Brahma Samhita. So, you know, success for my trip. And then at the end, I say the prayer to Durga. Because they're there, actually, on the way.
But Ganesh is also there in, I think, 5 out of the 6 Goswami temples.
Could be, yeah.
Yeah, they're there.
And yeah.
And as you enter the temple, mm-hmm.
Yeah, he's a great devotee. He's how he gets his power, you know. He holds Nrisingadev's feet on his tusks. The lotus feet of Nrisingadev. That's why he's so powerful. He's a great devotee of Nrisingadev. Big Nanash. They're both Big Nanash. Ganesh and Nrisinga. But he's only Big Nanash because he holds up Nrisinga's lotus feet.
And I've heard that Sanatana Goswami used to worship Gopishvara.
Oh, yeah, Gopishvara, everybody. Because Lord Shiva is very special in the Dham, mm-hmm. in Mayapur and Vrindavan. He's the gatekeeper. Mm-hmm. So if you want to get in, even I think Jananivas and Pankajangri, they have Shiva in the Pujar room.
In the Pujar room.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they have Shiva Linga. Because Gopishvara, he allows you to enter. So yes, we do worship Gopeshwar.
His service in Rasa Leela is to keep away anyone who has an enjoying mentality.
Right. He keeps out everyone. So yes, we in Vrindavan, yes, the demigods are there in their pure form, in their actual service to Krishna. So yeah, those demigods are fine. Gopeshwar Mahadev, everybody goes there on Shivaratri. But Prabhupada mentioned in Krishna book that they didn't always go to worship Lord Shiva. Sometimes they went. They weren't like regular in it. They weren't so regular in their worship of Lord Shiva. That they went out on a trip one time, once upon a time, they went to worship Lord Shiva and Durga. But they weren't like so much into it.
The focus, of course, has to be Radha and Krishna.
Yeah, and then they were worshiping Indra, it seems, regularly. But then Krishna stopped that. Yes, you had something?
Yeah, I mean, this manifestations of Sahaja that people dress up, you know, and they have these kind of darshans, and this is really gross, you know.
Oh, yeah.
But my question is...
it's a whole car full of them.
What is the most subtle, you know, because in our movement, you know, nobody will dare to do such a thing.
Right.
Inside the movement.
Right.
So, but still, Mayavad and demigod worship and Prakritas, they represent tendencies in the conditioned souls, in the natural mentalities.
Yeah.
So what is the Sahaja mentality?
They keep the enjoying spirit. They keep the Purusha Bhav, actually.
Okay.
Yeah.
So when you want to enjoy it, the Krishna consciousness, like...
We want to enjoy, like Krishna. I mean, that's... It's not different from, people in the material world, but you try to make it spiritual. Just like Rajneesh, he says, you enjoy, and first then you renounce after. So, but it's spiritual. Now you're doing spiritual life. But it's not different from material life. But he's just making people feel good, about it. Yeah, now we can feel good about our enjoyment because it's spiritual. So that's the same with those. It's completely the same. It's even worse, the material life. Even materialists won't do what they're doing. No. But it's worse, actually, when you try to do it and call it spiritual. It's much worse. In the name of religion. So they go to the lowest place. In the name of religion, when you do these things, it's really very low. Yeah?
I was thinking about these congregational members who went for this darshan.
The ladies.
Yeah, Krishna first put them into difficulty, but then they got into temple mangalers because they came
out. It came out good.
Yeah.
Yeah, because they turned to Krishna.
Yeah.
Otherwise, who knows?
Of course, darshan literally means eye connection. It's not. Yeah. It's nothing to do about any other kind of.
I know, but. Well, they make their own philosophy. They have all these how many interpretations for darshan? For us, it means Krishna sees us, or we see Krishna. Krishna sees us. Darshan, where we see Krishna. That is darshan.
I'm just wondering about this. The congregational members you mentioned.
They weren't so fixed up.
I'm not talking about them. Actually, they brought up a very big issue, so they should be commended for that. I mean, they brought something in light. What's happening?
Yeah. I heard a lot. In Nepal,
so actually,
enlightening.
They're glorious in that, but they did a big service. I see it's that. But the question is, how these things are going on? Because
India
is such a place where a person of high integrity, if he does even slight wrong,
he's not allowed in Vrindavan. He's not allowed, but he's building a huge place outside the border of Vrindavan. This person, the men don't know about, and the women think it's devotional service to Krishna. Because I went to a place like we lost half of our congregation in Nepal to this person. I said, why, how is it possible? Because he speaks, they have kirtan, they sing Radhe, 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 and all those things. And they have kirtan, and even they read Prabhupada's books.
No.
In Nepal, they do. And they have kirtan, but it's, the philosophy, somehow, in the practice, it gets lost.
They have ashrams in U.S. also.
Everywhere, all over India, huge ashrams. That we use for, in Varshana, we use it for our retreats, so, because, 2,000 people can stay there.
Recently, this Nityanand, this here exposed in South India, he had ashram in Sweden.
Yeah, but this guy, this person was just put in jail in South Africa for molesting some African lady, or child, or whatever. And still they have faith in him. He was put in jail for it, actually.
Why doesn't ISKCON bring some
propaganda
towards these persons? Is there some kind of
teaching
in our department ISKCON which brings out the bogus news? Prabhupada is so much against.
Now, this person in Nepal, he's really good. He went to challenge one of them in Nepal, and he said, what are you doing? What is your philosophy? He said, and then the guy admitted, actually, I'm a bloop devotee from Jew. That's one girl. Yeah, he says, they get a little good philosophy and then they go and make their own movement and get followers. In Vrindavan there's many like that. There's many who used to be in ISKCON and then they start their own movements.
Is it, do you recommend, is it all right that the Kshatriya is there, you can just go and shoot such persons?
No. You cannot take the law in your hands. If you're a Kshatriya in the government, It's not, but it's not the way to do it. You know, you have the court and you have everything like that. And that's how Bhaktivinoda did it. Remember, there was a person, such a person in Bhaktivinoda's time. And he was a part of the government, and they had him confront that person. And he arrested him and put him in jail. And the guy had mystic powers, so he was, you know, giving Bhaktivinoda and his family, making them all sick with fever, and Bhaktivinoda didn't budge. That's how it was done in the previous time. So that example can, even the guys in jail, they still have faith in him, you know.
That's what I'm saying. If somebody kills those persons,
you'll get reaction, because this is Kali Yuga. Lord Chaitanya, he's an incarnation, so we are following Lord Chaitanya. He's not killing. Krishna used to kill, and all these other avatars, but our age of Kali, they don't kill because they're already dead. They're really.
No, but we also follow Bhagavad.
You have,
follow Parikshit Maharaj.
our incarnation is Lord Chaitanya, and he's killing the demonic mentality. And that's what he's killing demonic mentality. So therefore, we have to follow in his footsteps. We just have to spread the chanting of the holy name. And if you're in a position in the government, wherever you are, then you can use your power. It's not like we make our own government and start shooting people, you know, then it would be very bad for public relations.
Yeah,
I guess Hare Krishna devotee shoots such and such guru. Then they'll start shooting our gurus, you know. You wouldn't like that. It'd be a war. Start a war. It is not a good idea. It's not recommended. It's not authorized. Paritranaya sadunam vinashaya chadushkitam. But in this age, our killing is done, the killing of the mind. Because they're already dead, Prabhupada said. They're already dead. So Lord Chaitanya, he didn't kill. Nityananda, he stopped him from killing Jagai and Madhai. He was ready, because they offended a devotee. He was ready to kill. So you just become, you know, whatever, judge.
Like, there was this example of Srila Prabhupada in South India when Sai Baba.
Yeah.
So he was claiming God. Yeah. Disciples said that there are so many followers.
Yeah.
Prabhupada said that, who is this rascal? Show me, take me to him, who is this rascal? I will go and urinate on his face.
God. Not kill him. He didn't say to kill him. Yeah. There was this one, that particular guru. Was challenged one time by the Sarkar, who was the greatest magician in the world.
Yeah.
He says, whatever you can do, I can do better, the magician said. But he refused to accept the challenge.
Story is like that. Achha. P.C. Sarkar, who
P.C. Sarkar,
magician
he's greatest
in the world.
Yeah.
And the Sarkar,
maybe he learned some tricks from him.
They were God brothers. Yeah. They studied under the same guru, learned the same trick. One went on to become honest and display himself as the greatest magician by the power, and one became a.
Oh, that's a very group. Interesting.
Yeah. There's God brothers. So, but P.C. Sarkar opposed Diamond all his life, and at one moment went to meet him. So, why are you cheating people? He just directly challenged him. What you can do, I can do.
Yeah.
So, Sarkar said, okay, I can make this, you know, rasgulla and gulab jamuns he was making.
Yeah. So, where did you hear this from?
I heard it from a very reliable ISKCON devotee in Tirupati.
In Tirupati, okay. Yeah. Now, South India, they should know these things. He's from there.
So, he was showing they were challenging each other, and P. Sarkar was better than that.
Yeah,
and then
course.
He said, stop cheating people, but...
Yeah, so the challenge was there. That's good. Yeah, I know. And he would go, you know... There is a story in Mahabharata about such a guru who came back with his disciples. And the guru had incarnated as a snake. And the disciples were all these little red ants, and they were eating the snake. And the snake was half dead. And somebody wanted to have compassion. And then another person said, no, this one is a cheating guru. Last life. The disciples have come to... give him his reward. Dakshina. Yes. It's a temptation when you get some knowledge and power, then you can become guru. Yeah. cheating girl.
Yes, it's interesting. In a loop Hare Krishna study,
yes.
Like success in the cheating field.
Yeah. Because it's, they get a little knowledge.
Children of God, I heard also. David Moses.
Acha.
He was also a loop doctor, as far as I know.
Could be.
And because they use the same sankta techniques on the street.
Mm.
They go and give something and ask, you know. And
it
that's
could
what
be.
I heard, that he was...
Yeah, even the what you call it, deprogrammers were blooped, the voice, some of them.
Yeah.
Because they have to learn everything so that you can, you know, make you forget it. they force people to make offenses. That's that's how they deprogram. They force you to make offenses.
Yeah, exactly. They know exactly what it is.
Yeah.
Exactly. They know the signs.
Yeah, they know.
Regarding this reading of esoteric scriptures like Gita Govinda, then and the eagerness to do that, one thing, isn't it, that, you know, we are Rupanugas, and
exactly,
and the mood is not to enter into Radha Krishna.
Yeah.
The mood is to stay in the background and assist.
Right, assist. Be servant,
so,
das, anudas.
Yeah, so...
Yeah. That's also a very nice point.
Yeah.
That's a nice point.
And...
So you don't need to know what's going on there.
No, you are happy to...
Yeah. Satisfied.
Yeah.
Now you're satisfied. Just to be the servant of the guru.
Yeah, and make some contribution, and it will eventually come to Radha Krishna, but it's not that we have to be just
But there are so many deviant groups. Even in the Gaudiya Math, there are people, you know, there is this emphasis on having, you know, immediately going to Radha Krishna and having your relationship in these things, in some of the groups. So it's like the preaching is there, so that's why people think it's good. The Babaji's and the some other groups. They think this is good. And I was telling you about this one girl, new bhakti from Denmark. She was visiting India, and where was it? Yeah, she somehow at the airport. She met somebody from this other group, who is also Gaudiya Math, and they took her to their temple near, I think, Govardhan. And the guy and the sannyasi was immediately explaining Ras Lila and all these things to her. And she said, "It was so boring. She fell asleep while he was." And then she realized she was in the wrong temple, and she went to the ISKCON temple. This is just this year. Yeah, I mean, it's such a, I mean. She went to the, it was weird, I mean, one after the other, she was just getting these different gurus. They were just after, I guess they're starting to preach much more.
You can't digest these things.
Yeah, exactly, you cannot digest.
It's like...
You cannot digest. We'll get indigestion spiritually if we try. So we have to hear like these pastimes through the eyes of Srila Prabhupada. And he digests them for us and then we can understand what is going on.
I was one, believe it or not, just one simple boy, you know, boy, I mean young man from village in Norway, you know.
Hmm.
He was in the temple for some time, it's 20 years ago.
Hmm.
Then he went to India, and he ended up in Radha, and he, you know, got into one of
Radha Kun. Oh,
village, you know. Unbelievable, you know. Simple village, and then he got initiated there, and you know, went into these things. And then he got married in India, but it was a, you know, cheating marriage. They actually, he really got it from Krishna. You know. The family had just, it was a kind of cheating marriage, and then they robbed him, and then the wife left. You know, it was just, and he came back and he was completely worn out. He couldn't
So the result was he couldn't even follow regular to principle.
Yeah, right. Well, that's what happens. That's what happens if you... Yeah, I mean, somebody, one of my... Adi Purush, one devotee, he was saying, a lot of Russians go there. He said, so they go there, they get into this Lila Smarana, and they have a Giriraj Shila, Govardhan Shila, and they have Radha Krishna, and they do all this elaborate puja. Because they do puja and they chant 64 rounds. He says, but then after some time, they give away their Radha Krishna bead, and they keep their Govardhan. And after some time, they give away their Govardhan, and then they start having girlfriends, like, you know, not just one, he said, but two or three at least they have to have. He says, not one. And they just get, yeah, I mean, they get in the mood of that, you know.
Yeah, so the power of the Guru Parampara is not there.
No, obviously. It's the branch cut off from the tree. Yeah. It's not even on the tree, actually. I mean, it was on the tree, but the branch is cut off. They're giving this high thing to people who are not qualified. And so that's...
Yeah, I mean, Prabhupada is really empowered to give that which works for the people in the Kali Yuga today. You know, and
yeah.
It's like, and this 64-round stuff, it's something. You know, it's like... Yeah.
Once in a while it's okay, you know.
Yeah.
Like these retreats, general. These retreats are good because I've been on some of them, and there's Guru Kulis who haven't chanted for 5 years, and then comes a 64 rounds day, and he says, I chanted more today than I did the last 5 years.
Yeah.
So it's good.
Yeah, that
kind of thing is good.
Like a general procedure.
Yeah, it's general. Like if you try, it won't work. You'll just like start eating and sleeping, and you definitely won't do service.
Yeah, and also we are Gostanandis.
Yeah, we are Gostanandis.
And then if you want Prabhupada's mercy, you have to be Gostanandi.
Yeah, that's right. We follow his mood.
Yeah, you have to do
up to
preaching,
he was
service.
80. I think, yeah. I mean, he never stopped.
Yeah.
He never stopped preaching. He never retired.
No.
Yeah. You can retire when your body is finished.
Yeah.
I mean, sometimes our godbrothers, they are forced to retire because they can't do it anymore. But they keep going until... They can't do it, so it's okay. Okay, so let's stop here.